glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. In the beginning. Boy, John really knows what he's doing, doesn't he? In the beginning. It sets a very particular scene, like once upon a time does for our fairy tales, or a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away does for all you Star Wars nerds out there. These words, in the beginning, have the ability to establish a very specific mood. They have the ability to prepare the audience for just what kind of story this will be. So it's fitting this morning that we read these words, this prologue from John's Gospel, alongside those beautiful ancient words of the creation story from Genesis. For these words, in the beginning, with which John begins his Gospel text, are the very same words John and everyone else he had ever known would have read in the Septuagint, or the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. And so by beginning in the beginning, John is making a very particular claim about what kind of story this is that he's telling. The prologue of John's Gospel, these first 18 verses of the first chapter, put a new spin on the creation story, write a new creation story. Using these words of old, in the beginning, John ties the story of Jesus to the story of Adam and Eve. In the first five sentences alone, John declares that Jesus was not simply a prophet, not simply a reformer, not simply human. No, John declares that Jesus, the Word with a capital W, became Jesus by, in the words of Eugene Peterson, the writer of The Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. But first, there was the Word. Before John the Baptist, before the calling of the disciples, before the signs and wonders, before the cross and the tomb, yea, even before Easter morning, there was the Word. Before the Word became the flesh and blood we know as Jesus and moved into the neighborhood that we call earth, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. At the source of everything we know, the very root of every family tree. In the beginning was the Word. In our reading from Genesis this morning, we don't get the "in the beginning," but it's implied, right? We know where we are when we read these words, don't we? In the midst of God's verdant and glorious creation, teeming with flying things and swimming things and creepy crawling things, mooing and howling things, God sees fit to create, well, us humans. And in doing so, calls us to a very important role in this amazing garden. God creates human beings and gives them, us, the world as the source of life and joy, and entrusts it to them, us. But that's not all. God also calls us to be fruitful and multiply. God invites humanity into a place of incredible abundance, invites them, us, to share in that abundance, and then calls them, us, to be, well, abundant. God creates. God provides. My goodness, isn't that generous? Our God is truly a generous God. So generous that we are not only created, but created in the midst of the abundance of God's creation, and given that abundance to have, to control, to care for. And then we are called to create, to multiply, and to share abundantly in all of that abundance. My goodness, isn't that generous? Our God is truly a generous God. So generous that in all of this abundance, in the midst of this incredible creation, as though God hadn't already done enough for us, God gives of God's self. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. The life that was the light of all people, the light that shines in the darkness and which the darkness could not overtake, put on flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The Word made flesh became one of us, taught us, healed us, amazed us, and died for us. My goodness, isn't that generous? Our God is truly a generous God. So generous that we can't help but do as we have been called to do. Stamped with God's image, we have been created to live and love and make and give and forgive abundantly, just as God has done. And, you know, so maybe we don't always do it so well. Maybe we have spent a little too much time in this glorious garden, depleting our natural resources. Maybe we have spent a little too much of our energy here on this little blue ball, placing ourselves and our wants at the center of the universe. Maybe, just maybe, even in our finest moments, we have failed to truly give as much as we should, to care as completely as we can, to live as lovingly as we were made to do. Maybe. And yet, in the midst of those maybes, doesn't God love us still? In the midst of those maybes, doesn't God come to us still? In the midst of those maybes, surrounded by our sins of omission and our outright misdoings, doesn't God send God's self to be by our sides? Doesn't God send God's self God's Son, the Word made flesh, to die a criminal's death, so that we might see the power of God's abundant and steadfast life-giving love in as unlikely a place as an empty tomb. My goodness, isn't that generous? Our God is truly a generous God, worthy of our praise, worthy of all praise. We may not always get it right. We may be caught in the maybes of our life, of this time and place, but God finds us in these maybes and calls us to pick them up and turn them around, to turn our maybe we didn'ts into maybe today's. And my goodness, isn't that generous? Our God is truly a generous God. And just like those angels and those mysterious waters above the heavens, just like the sea monsters and the fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind doing God's will, the mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, those wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, the sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world, young men and maidens, old and young together, let us too praise our generous God and say, no, shout hallelujah. No, really, folks, just because I'm not in the room doesn't mean I'm going to let you off the hook. Our God is a truly generous God, right? Right? So let us praise our generous God and shout hallelujah. Again, hallelujah. One more time, hallelujah.